a dying church, what must God's people do? And we have already seen, right from the second message, that when it comes to revival, that it is wholly of the Lord, right? It is of God's sovereignty. But God's sovereignty is never in denial of human responsibility. If we just simply say that God is sovereign, and if God wants to save someone, He will do so, and so therefore there is no need for us to evangelize, then there will be no one in this world that will be saved, because how will people hear the good news of Jesus Christ if there will not be a preacher? So, this is something that we must take to heart. So, a dying church doesn't mean we just sit there and do nothing and then say, well, if the church will live, if the Lord's will that the church will live, it will live. If it's the church, it just feel that the church will die, it will die. So, well, just let it be, I just sit there and watch the whole world burn. No, it's not that. There are things that we must do. And in fact, if you realize that a church is dying, then all the more, you must be caught into action. And the first thing that we really must do, if we truly seek a revival of any congregation, is this. And that is, we ourselves must seek for revival. That is in fact what God in His sovereignty has called us to do. And this is what we learn in this particular passage right here before us. Here in God's word, in the 8th month, in the 2nd year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying. So now there is a shift of prophet. So take note, it's no longer Ezekiel. And this is after the time of Ezekiel already. And what is happening during the time of Zechariah was this. The temple had for some time remained in ruins. 16 years ago, the work of rebuilding the temple began. But due to the persecution of the enemies of Israel, the work has stopped for some time. And so, right now here in 520 BC, the Lord raised two prophets to speak to God's people. One was Haggai. In fact, it's not just Haggai, if you all can pronounce it as Haggai. And the other one is Zechariah, or Zachariah. And they ministered to God's people, telling them, well, what are you doing? God's house is in ruins, and yet your houses have already been rebuilt. Your houses compared to God's house, they look like palaces. And you keep telling yourself, it's not the season to build. There is no better time to build. The time to build should be now. Why are you procrastinating? And so, well, we are very thankful that generation was a humble generation. So they listened to the provocations of the prophet Haggai, and they began to build. But somewhere down the road, the Lord found it pleasing to send Haggai, and then after that, also Zechariah, to give further messages to God's people. And in this particular message, you realize that Zechariah continued to call on God's people to seek the Lord. Why was that the case? Well, the reason was this. It was because, yes, while they may be rebuilding the temple, it is important to understand that the work of building the temple will only be blessed if the people serve the Lord in holiness. They cannot just build the temple and then they still continue in their old ways, right, of committing evil and wickedness against the Lord. And that is why down here, the Lord himself, right, not wanting to see, right, God's people cover their sins with service, right, that's not the way to go. You don't cover sin with service. And just because you are serving means, there's no problem in my life. No. It should be the other way around. Right? You resolve your sins and serve. So, God wants them to resolve their sins. So therefore, he went direct to them via Zechariah, and Zechariah declared unto them, "The Lord hath been sore displeased with your fathers." And the fathers here will refer to the early generations of Israel, but especially what will come into mind of all these returnees will be the generation that went into exile. Why did that generation go into exile? Because the Lord was unhappy with them. And why was the Lord unhappy with them? Oh, as you have seen already in Ezekiel, right? They were idolaters. Even though they may be naming the name Jehovah with their lips, but actually their hearts was away from the Lord. Right? They had many idols in their hearts, and there was gross hypocrisy in their lives. And so therefore, the Lord here said to them, "Don't be like your fathers. I was very angry with them. You have to know this." And the message therefore is this: I was angry with your fathers. Please do not make me angry in this generation. In fact, what you must do is this. Thus say the Lord of hosts, turn ye unto me. So now, the word turn. Right. Yes. What is this word turn? I'm glad the word has been raised. Turn to the board, expecting to see it there. I see erase. Very thankful. Just now, people erase the board. Because I wanted to ask this as a quick question, so it's gone. Good. What is that word? Without looking at the book. Turn E unto me, it's turn around. What is that word? There are two words, right? Just now. One is to make alive. The word is Chaya, right? Not Chaya, Chaya. The second word, what is it? Shuv. That's why you must sit in front. I always believe sitting in front is good. Sit in front, you can see very clearly, right? The best place is in front. Shuv. Just now, Ezekiel, in fact, you see the word live or life, right, in the noun form many times. Now, in this passage, you see the word shuv. And this talks about human responsibility. The Lord calling the children of Israel, and you know, the Lord calling the children of Israel is what? It's God's sovereignty. Right? So you realize God is the first one to work. Right? Revival cover for the Lord. Right? God works via Zechariah. It says, turn ye unto me. So is there a responsibility of God's people? Yes, this is what they must do. You yourself, every one of you individually, but also corporately, right, as God's people, make sure you turn around to me. In other words, your back has been facing away from me for some time. Now turn around. Turn back to me, saith the Lord. And if you turn back to me, I will turn unto you. Right, so this is actually the call to seek. Right, this is our responsibility. Right, seeking for revival is therefore not an option. Seeking for revival is something that every child of God must do, especially if you realize there are signs of deadness in your life, there are signs of deadness in the church, and all the more, you yourself must seek the Lord, and all the more, you must call for others to seek the Lord. Because this is exactly what the Lord demands of you. This is the Lord's call. This is what you must settle in the part more. A lot of times we talk about the Lord's call and we just apply it to the service. But the Lord called me to be a pastor, so therefore we expect the pastors to say, hey, you must continue to abide in your calling. And no matter what happens, you cannot give up. That is true, that is correct. Even though many times pastors really feel like giving up, that is also true. But we demand our pastors to say, you cannot give up no matter what. And so sometimes people abuse us. You know the pastor cannot give up, so they go to the pastor, they call all sorts of names, they abuse and what. Because pastor cannot give up, right? Well, after they give all kinds of abuse, they tell the pastor, you cannot give up, right? Wow. I saw that happening to one pastor recently, very sad. Another lady, a pastor's wife, told me how, even the pastor's wife also, I'm not talking about this pastor's wife, another pastor's wife, somebody came and scored all the way, and after that she tried to say something, you know, as of instruction to the person. The person said, shut up, you are pastor's wife, keep quiet, you must listen. So what did she do? She just listened. Just listen, just a call. See, pastor's wife also cannot give up. Pastor's wife give up means what? No more the pastor's wife cannot, right? So, you know, the pastor sometimes has the easy way out because the pastor can say, I give up. But the pastor's wife go along with the husband, cannot say, I divorce the husband. Right? Correct? So you could oftentimes apply to service. So is it only to a pastor? But she's only a pastor, it's actually to everyone. But this call, you only apply to service. Actually, God's call for us is in many, many different aspects of our life, including what? Including this call to repent, this call to seek the Lord, to seek for revival. You cannot take it as optional. If I want, I do it. If I do not want, I don't do it. And that's why it was led, you know, the camp master, right from the very beginning, in the introduction of this camp. Okay, this is exactly what God's word says. You should not find any excuse to get from it. Since even if there's no conviction, also you must obey. Now, I believe his point is, in fact, you cannot say that you have no conviction. If you have no conviction, you better pray to God, help you to repent, you better be convicted. That's what he means. In other words, no matter what, you must obey. That's what the Lord basically says here, because that is God's call for you. You must persist, you must follow. There's no option out of it. That is part of your responsibility if you want the dying church to live. First yourself, and after that, and encourage others. You yourself, you must have that desire and that conviction in your heart. This is not an option. To repent, must seek the Lord. What does it mean to seek the Lord? How must we seek? Right, that is in verse 4. Right, here God's word says, be ye not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried. How many of you like to look at the older generation and then say, well, the older generation is like this, so therefore I am like this. So if my parents, they were unbelievers, I have an excuse not to believe? No, right? I mean, there's quite a number of you down here, your parents are Christians, so maybe that doesn't apply. But some of us may actually come from households where our parents are unbelievers. But you don't use that as an excuse to say that you don't believe, right? Or our parents are backsliders, they have not behaved for church for some time. You don't use that as an excuse to say, I don't be a sincere believer. I must be a sincere believer. So even in the church, if the generation that is before you is not faithful to the word of God, there is no excuse for you not to seek the Lord. And never use their behavior as a means of justifying your bad behavior. We saw that the other way around, right? In the first message, we are Shafan, a godly man. There's no guarantee that a generation is godly means the next generation will be godly. People can sleep very fast. But doesn't mean that a generation is ungodly, means that it is of a necessity that this generation must be ungodly. No. Yeah, they have turned away from me, but you can be a generation where it is different. And that is what the Lord is calling you to do. Don't be like your fathers, if in this case your fathers happen to be really rotten. If your fathers are godly men, and your parents are godly parents, and you realize that they have been following the Lord, then of course you follow their faith. Follow their faith and follow the aspects of life where it's according to God's word. But if there are aspects of certain aspects of their life where they are not following God's word, you must have the determination to say, I must stand different. I must follow the Lord. So don't be like your fathers. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye now from your evil ways. Now, how were they like? They did not turn from their evil ways, they did not turn from evil doings, they did not hear. But they did hear because there were many prophets that spoke to them, and yet they did not really hear because it was not true hearing. If it was true hearing, then it would have bore the fruit of what? Of obedience, of repentance. But no, they did not hear. Neither did they hearken unto me. Oh, then you say, hey, what's the difference? Why God hear and hearken? Why does hearken comes from the word hear, right? But actually, these two words are different. The first word here is this word Shama. It may sound familiar to some of us, because some of us may know what is the Shema. Anyone of you can remember what is the Shema? Daniel, what is the Shema? He remembered, I'm very glad you remember perfectly, right? Shema Israel, Yehovah Eloheinu, Yehovah Echad. Except maybe the it's not there. Hear, O Israel, I bring it more according to the Hebrew. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Shema, hear. In fact, this word Shema, in certain contexts, has been translated also as obey. Because the right heart hearing is a hearing that leads to obedience. And that's why the word down here, says they did not hear, because if they really hear, they would have obeyed. And the reason why they did not obey is because in the first place they did not hearken unto me. And here the word hearken is this word kasha. Kashaf has the sense of paying attention. Pay attention. We have many students here. When it comes to exam, sometimes you have questions you can't answer, right? Tests you can't answer, especially a test that comes after a lesson. Exam sometimes people will go and study, but when it comes to tests in between, you realize that a lot of times you cannot answer. Why you can't answer? Samba, why cannot answer? Say the truth. What happens in class? Why a lot of people cannot answer their quiz questions? Never listen, didn't pay attention. And that's exactly the point here. Why did he not obey in the first place? Obedience is the test, right? Will you obey? Because in the first place, when the prophets came to speak to them, did they even pay attention? They did not even give scant attention. And that was the way of their fathers in the past. your fathers may be like this, children of Israel. But that does not mean you follow. Because right now, in this generation, if you expect the rebuilding work of the temple to go on well, you cannot continue your sins and use service to cover up. No. You must have the right attitude to God's word and make sure that your ways will really change. And you are sincere in following the Lord. And don't go and look at your fathers and therefore blame your fathers for doing that. Oh, I am like this because my father last time never hear the word of God and so therefore I'm like this. My father never hear the word of God. My mother never hear the word of God. So therefore I'm like this. And I want to be the same. No! In fact, if they are like this, then all the more you should set the example and show the right way so that you may be a blessing to your parents. That is the way. Oh, but shouldn't the parents set the responsibility for the young people, set an example for the young people? I fully agree. But even if they don't, that does not mean that you don't follow the Lord. Because the Lord has already given you His word, right? It's down here for you to read. That is how you must see God's word. Don't come into congregation, worship service, and then already your heart is already flying out of the sanctuary. Once the preaching goes up, I know exactly how he preaches. Switch off. And then finally, when it comes to the test of life, you cannot obey, and then you say that it's the prophet's fault. No, it's not the prophet's fault. It's not the preacher's fault. When it comes to when the sermon is preached, you will not even pay attention. And then later on in your life, when your life becomes a wreck, and then you claim that there is no joy. When the rebuke was given, you did not listen in the first place. Again, I now know of a congregation that when the same pastor now is going through a lot of trouble. He tries his very best to teach and to get the congregation around. But now, when the word of God is frequently preached, some are not even present physically at the worship service. Some, they decided to go to the English service pastor, the Chinese service. Ironically, the person preaching the Chinese service is a student anyway. They go to the Chinese service. Some absent altogether. They claim online worship, at least we hope there is. Some are not even worshiping together. When the sermon was preached, there is a really scant attention. How can there be change in the lives of God's people? And after that, they get very angry with the youth. Because when the youth stand up and they say, this cannot be, we want to listen to God's word, we want to follow, they get very angry. And then they claim, pastor is affecting the youth, and they can only think of what? When it comes to election, they can only think because of election. We are trying to get the votes of the youth for election. What devilish thinking! This is really devilish thinking. It doesn't matter whether you are young, whether you are old. When God's word is preached, you better pay attention. And if you happen to be of a generation when you are young, and then the olders are not paying attention, make sure you do not compromise. I'm glad that at least some of them do not compromise. Because they did not compromise, perhaps the this church was too good. So I cannot imagine how this pastor is going through it. I put myself in the same shoes, I do not know. I think it's only by the grace of God I go through. Even now I speak, I feel like breaking out in tears. Yeah, I'm not the one going through this, it's another man. I feel like breaking out in tears. I can't imagine. You are part of the generation, many parents. I believe most of the parents here, I'm looking around, most of the parents here are godly parents. And you better follow the good way in which they do, those that start the lifestyle they have done well. But even if there are some aspects of what they have not done, never use it as an excuse for your wrong compliance in God's word. It must start from you, then the church will be there. So that is the second point. How you must seek the Lord. Really receive His word well, humbly, faithfully, and that must be also with regardless of the speeches. Of course, we try our best to get speakers who are faithful speakers, but not every speaker is a dynamic speaker. You must know the difference between faithful speaker and dynamic speaker. There are some who are more dynamic than others. But so long as they preach the word of God faithfully and accurately, you must hear. And sometimes the Lord will use different, as I shared on the first lesson, the Lord will use different speakers in different times of your life to grow up. I remember my wife was sharing one testimony, I hope she don't mind. She was sharing how when she was growing up, one particular speaker ministered to her very well. Because it was one of the very basics and fundamentals of the Christian faith very clear. She listened to another speaker, she was thinking, what is this speaker teaching? You don't understand. But later on, as she grew in faith, she understood more things. And now she wants to seek God's word and preach from the other speaker. Of course, she did not despise the first speaker, still very dear to her. Thank God for that. Otherwise, she deserves to be rebuked. Stage of life, second speaker, in terms of the doctrine, instruction. So it's the same for us. Not the speaker. Of course, the speaker, again, must have responsibility to expound accurately and well, especially accurately, that's the most important, not dynamic. Yes, William? Dynamic, a lot of dynamic speakers in homiletics, but they are very accurate. I'm not present there, but I know what they speak. Some of you may think they are the best speakers, but they are actually the worst. Accurate, but if it's accurate, faithful, you pay attention. Sometimes it's God's test for you. Even though there is no dynamics, will you listen? That's the key. If your heart is not from God's word, if it's not as dynamic, you want to give up and say, I don't want to learn. But if your heart is from God's word, even if it's not dynamic, you will try your very best to follow. And pray for the speaker. Pray that the speaker will improve, and some will improve in time. I know of some speakers who today will think that they are very excellent speakers, but in the past, because I know them, you hear them, you think that there's no way they can speak the word of God, so people think, because they are monotone. But now, they are powerful preachers of God's word. So please, understand these things. Pay attention. and hear unto obedience. That is how you must seek the Lord. Then lastly, verse 5 to 6 tells us, it is folly not to seek. Right? So this is the negative aspect now. If you do not seek, it is plain foolishness. How do we know this? Right? Verse 5. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? So all these are questions demanding the answer, no. Right? Your fathers, where are they? Why are they? Nowhere. Gone. The prophets, yes, they also do not live forever. They come, they preach, but after some time, they are taken home to be with the Lord. But what about God's word? God's word endures forever. My words and my statutes which I command. My servants, the prophets. So in other words, God himself, in his sovereignty, has sent that to you. You don't call anyone else. Call these men. And they are God's servants. In other words, they belong to the Lord, but God sent them. Did they not take hold of your fathers? The word take hold here means to overtake. So in other words, your fathers died. The prophets, they have gone home to be with the Lord. They are no longer around. But what about God's word? Every one of God's words still continue to stand today. Right? These words, which you hold in your hands, that this Bible, which you hold in your hands, it's not written just yesterday. It was not written when you were just born in this world. It was written by many men throughout the ages with God moving them by the Spirit. They pen these words down. These are words that have been breathed out by God. And God makes sure that every one of them has been kept pure from all ages, that we may read these words today. But sometimes people say, oh, what then is the practical application of this? The practical application is here. Now there is a movement again in the church. Every time you talk about preservation of scripture, you know how important the preservation of scripture is? It's right here. If the scripture stands forever, then why don't you listen to the scripture? Because one day, you will be gone from this world, but the scripture will still stand in this world. So now the scripture has been preached to you. You scoff at it. You think you will do anything to the scripture? No, the scripture will still stand true. Just because you scoff at it, just because you disobey it, God's word is not going to change. You may not want God's word to say, thou shalt not pursue your life's ambition. And you want to pursue your ambition in life. Whether be those in Ebenezer, I don't know what ambitions you have, whether in terms of excelling in certain CCA or you may have some ideas of what you want to do in life. Perhaps there are some desires of certain entertainment you really, really want to have. But it's not God's will for you to have, but you still want to go after it. Or, for the sugary, you know all the entrapments of God. I don't think there's any need more to describe it here. You know, recently there was one hymn gaining popularity among the Shomerim. Look for all the ambitions here, you know. Because it seems like it's Peter Cookhouse, one of his favorite songs recently. Yeah, that's precisely the point. Look for all my ambitions here. I hope this will be in the heart of both the Shomerim and the Ebenezer. Because of your ambitions, and so therefore you do not want to listen to certain powers. Because it deals with your ambition, you see. And sometimes you try to thread the picture and say, are you therefore trying to say that if you pursue after this direction, it's wrong? I mean, no. Of course the picture cannot say specifically pursuing in this direction is wrong, because in of itself, and you look at maybe doing a certain job, taking a certain vocation, it is not wrong. and this in the general view of God, but specifically for you as a person, God may be directing you elsewhere, but you want to go that way. But you now refuse to listen, you see, and so therefore you get very angry when the preacher preaches. You don't want to accept it, and then you want to change God's word. Or you may just want to receive more and more money in this life. You want to be a lover of mammon, but firstly, you don't want people to know that you're a lover of mammon, but yet one mammon, and so therefore you want the preacher to preach something different. The preacher one day will be gone. You can even get rid of the preacher. Say, I don't want the preacher to be around. One day the preacher will die, the prophet will die. They don't want to be the Lord. Because the prophet is a true prophet. But God's word is to stand. You cannot have two masters. You will either love the one or hate the other. Which one will that be? Will it be mammon or will it be God? Though you may desire for the scripture to change, to try and justify that you can have your leg on both boats, you will never have it. The word will still overtake you. It's falling on the sea. In the end, you will be destroyed. God's word is just that. You cannot fight against God's word and win. That is the practical application of the global plenary preservation of God's word. God's word was still stand. You were gone, but God's word was still stand. So you better obey God's word now. Like Esther. So, what's the response of this generation? Well, we thank the Lord. They returned, and then they told the God of hosts. So, in other words, they must have spoken directly to Zechariah. Like as the Lord of hosts taught to do unto us, according to our ways and according to our doings, so have he dealt with us. To restate this, they are simply saying, great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. In what aspect of faithfulness here? You have been faithful to your word, you have been faithful in your dealings with us, you are always right. And so, therefore, we must listen to you. In other words, they understood why they have gone to exile. They understood why they are now in such a difficult situation. Remember, rebuilding the wall means what? They are going to invite the persecution of the enemies of God again. It's going to be a very tough life for them. But they understood why this has to be done. They understood why they are going through this suffering. The Lord is faithful and just in all his doings. So therefore, we are now going to seek the Lord with all our heart. And that's why, in the end, was the temple successfully rebuilt? Yes. It was rebuilt by a people who what? By a people who really, in their heart, was sincere in their faith to God. So you want a dying church to be revived? Well, there's no guarantee a dying church will necessarily be revived because it all depends on God's will. But if you, in the first place, you are not willing to seek God, then how can this revival happen? You have a personal responsibility. Don't look at the other people around you. Look at yourself first. That is your part. I really sincerely seeking the Lord because he calls me to seek the Lord. He calls me to seek him. It's not an option. And when he calls me to seek him, how am I seeking the Lord? What is the right way? What does it mean to seek him? God in his word. Am I really of a soft heart when God's word is being taught to me? When I read God's word, God's word is preached, am I really ready to receive it? Because in the end, even if I don't receive it, God's word will still stand. God says it, that settles it. It's whether or not I will believe it. Not the other way around. God says it, I believe it, that settles it. No. It's God. God says it, that settles it. And now our responsibility is I must deliver. Because if I go, it's falling. It doesn't matter whether or not the people around me are falling or not. They can fall off. But my responsibility is to stand. We do so, if God willing, we pray that every one of us will do so. May the Lord really be merciful and grant us revival in the church. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, God Almighty, we thank thee, O Lord, for this privilege to have thy word in our hands, to read and to learn and to hear. And how wonderful it is that your word never changes. It stands forever. It is for us, O Lord, to take heed, therefore, to thy teachings. So many men in the past have heard thy word, and God have not heard, and thy word have overtaken them. But we pray by thy mercies that you will help us not to be so, to receive thy word faithfully, and really to grow in thy precious word. We want, O Lord, our lives to count for the Lord Jesus Christ. That the fruits of this life which you have given to us may truly be richly expressed every day of our lives. So please, Father, give thy children here. You know that every one of them is so precious in thy sight. And so, Lord, as thou hast promised in thy word, care for them, O Lord, and shower them, O Lord, with thy perfect love. In Jesus' most precious name, we pray. Amen.